Talk about grace. We're going to talk about grace entering the faith party that we've been having. And this particular next two segments are really, really important. They're really, really important. I pray that everybody just, you keep an ear to hear. And I pray that the Lord really enhance what you've already learned. But these are very, very important here about grace. Entering into the faith party. In the beginning of this particular message, he got right at it with us. And he said to frustrate grace is to frustrate the power of faith. And boy, is this forever true, man. This is so true. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." The word "through," we found out, meant the channel. Grace, we learned, that means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. So we're saved by the divine influence. And under this influence, we find a channel between grace and faith. We find a channel. And the word "faith," we all know, means the character of one who can be relied on. So grace influences us into the character of Christ. There's a divine influence that is pulling us to what we've been learning and what we've learned to be the gate and the post. So there's a divine influence that's doing us. He works the will and the do, which we all know. So as we're coming to the post, understand this, it is the grace of God that influences us. And it influences us into the place of authentic faith. That's what this is all about. Grace works right next to faith. They're so connected, it's unbelievable. "For by grace are you saved." Then the channel to get to faith is discovered by grace. And it's not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Every time we make it to the post, it's not you doing it. It's the grace of God pulling you to get under his temperament.
Amen.
It's
amen.
His grace. And I love that. It's not you. It's not, you're not getting up and desiring. You're not getting up and essentially pressing. No. Grace is causing the desire. Grace is causing the press to get to the post. Grace is causing for you to have Alpha and Omega fellowship there, rounding out your place of authentic faith. It's the grace of God. And we're blessed by that. And it's a gift unto us. And God wants to make this an awareness known. He wants us to be conscious of it. That as you're being pulled to come into his presence, as you're being pulled to come in and get the exchange made from your temperament to his. It's not you. It's happening by grace.
Amen.
Now, the word "channel," it means a means of communication or expression. All right? It means a path along which information, such as data or music, is formed. I like the word "path." It becomes a path. And then we've talked about getting on the right path and finding the path to the post. All right. And it's in this particular definition means in the form of an electrical signal passes. It's how electrical currents pass through a channel from the wall socket to the lamp type thing. And so it also means a fixed or official course of communication. Grace to faith is the fixed and official course of God communicating. Think about that for a minute. It is the official way to get into the place of authentic faith by grace. And God wants you to have an awareness that it's his divine influence that's causing you to get up and move to the post, to see that or to feel and to feel that temperament exchange. It's God's grace. It also means a way, it means a course or direction of thought or action. That's the word channel. It's the direction of thought and or action. You can hear grace in that, where the thought is the influence and the action would become the reflection on the life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So now the channel between grace and faith flows back and forth from one to the other. Grace establishes faith, and faith endorses grace to bring forth the reflection or the manifestation. The Lord is imparting this truth, and this is an old note. He said to us back then, I'm imparting this truth to you so that you can truly live by faith. He wants us to fully understand that faith doesn't work alone. It works with grace. Grace is just one of the components that work alongside of faith. But without grace, you would never step into authentic faith. The channel of communication between the two is actually amazing. Grace calls out to faith when his influence or temperament is on us, and faith, which is perfected by the temperament, calls back now we'll call back to grace. That is what produces the reflection or the manifestation on our lives. The Bible says, I believe in the book of John, he said that he would give us grace for grace. So grace comes, takes us to faith, and faith connects us back to grace. Amen. First part of grace, remember, is the divine influence. So it's that divine influence that takes us to the realm of authentic faith. And when authentic faith is established through temperament, it tags grace again to bring forth a reflection. So good. Amen. One thing that is for certain, we need to understand, it's all God and has nothing to do with us. Mm-hmm. We may speak to the mountains in our lives, but be it known, it's by faith. It's by faith. It's faith by grace that is going to move the mountain.
Amen.
So every part of your breakthrough or your come up or whatever you want to call it, everything has to do with God. It has nothing. It's all under the gift that he's given us. It's wonderful how it works. My God, when you're down and out and you're kind of in a lull, you might become a little lethargic or lackadaisical. It's grace that hastens to get you up again, to move you back into the realm of authentic faith. You might have had a bad day and missed the mark. You might have missed the mark somewhere along the way, but grace comes again to lift you up and to bring you back to the post of his doors. So we've seen the channel work from grace to faith. Now let's take a look at it, how it works back from faith back to grace. In the book of Romans chapter 4, verse 16, it says, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. That's powerful. We see the transition where grace will take us to faith, but now we look a little further and see that faith will get us back to grace. Second part of that grace, look, to the end, the promise might be sure. It's speaking of manifestation. That when faith takes you back to grace, now you're going to see the promise. You're going to see the influence of the reflection. It's gonna show up. It's gonna show up. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but that to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So this confirms the channel flows not just from grace to faith, but it does flow from faith back to grace. It's a channel of communication that's powerful. And God wants us to understand this, because when you understand it, it kind of rounds out the dimension or the place of authentic faith. It really does situate you to understand that, hey, what my faith is true, it's authentic. It's my God bringing me to himself and clothing me in his temperament. so that I can believe just like him. I can understand just like him.
Yes.
And so when you understand this wonderful channel between grace and faith back to grace, and you get an understanding of this, man, it's that word again comes up in my spirit. You become essentially unstoppable. When you recognize, my goodness, there's no better feeling of recognizing his grace on you, moving you to his presence. There's no better feeling, because then you know, my God, it's real. This is real faith. This is that mountain moving stuff here.
Yes.
He's influencing me into his temperament. My goodness. And he's putting the power of faith on me. Now watch this. At further confirmation in Romans 5:2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, in the first scripture we read, we're saved by grace through faith. Grace was out in front. Now we're seeing faith out in front, back to grace. It's a channel, people. It's a channel of communication. And when we frustrate grace, and that's what the whole basis of this message, the narrative of this message is simple. When we frustrate grace, we've also frustrate the power of faith. When we frustrate it, when we get into self, we now frustrate the power of faith. That's why God doesn't want us praying from fear. He doesn't want us praying from our emotions. He wants us fully dialed into his. Because anything, if you're on the scene, grace isn't. If you're in the equation, grace isn't. So there's no channel from grace to faith. So essentially, if you're there and not under the temperament of Christ, by which you got there by grace, I'm sorry to tell you, but that faith is null and void. Mm-hmm. Most prayers, I tell you, won't even hit the ceiling, because of the fact that grace gets frustrated. Now, here we go. So now, this channel now is going from back from faith, going back to grace. And as it goes from back to faith, back to grace, it's going to produce the reflection. The manifestation point is right there. So it's by our consistent faith life that we're going to come into this grace that produces manifestations in our lives. Grace will influence us into faith, which we learned, or temperament, but it will be that authentic faith that causes grace's manifestation to reflect again on our lives. Somebody say amen if you're still with me.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. So to frustrate grace, his influence, is to frustrate the power of his faith. Here we go. Paul said it like this. I am crucified. Oh, I feel you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Verse 21 is our key. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Righteousness there is a key. And later on in the balance, we're going to see righteousness joins the faith part. Anytime you see righteousness being talked about, right? He said, for if righteousness come by the law, you have to understand that that righteousness was established because of faith. Because we are the righteousness of God by faith.
Amen.
So now Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. You can actually translate this like this. Because faith didn't come by the law. But if I frustrate the grace of God, then that means righteousness or faith is also frustrated. It's not moving. It's not coming. And what it means is I sit to set aside, to violate, to neutralize. It means to. It also means to disannul or reject. It's speaking of getting into self.
Wow.
God gave him love me and gave himself for me, the Son of God. You understand? He loved me and gave himself for me. So there should be an exchange there. If there's no exchange, grace is frustrated, and so is the power of faith. My God. He loved you and gave himself for you. Exchange. But when there's no exchange, I say it again, grace now is frustrated, and so is faith. And righteousness really isn't established because you're present, you're on the scene. So now you're setting it aside, you're neutralizing it, you're violating it. So watch this. Grace gets frustrated on both ends. Not only are you not under the divine influence of it, how are you going to ever reach the reflection? It's frustrated. There's no manifestation there. So when grace gets frustrated, it does neutralize the power of faith, because the faith is supposed to be taking you back to get the reflection, to get the manifestation. Boy, oh boy, here we go. So when we step out of this influence or temperament, we are actually neutralizing his grace. We are shutting down the power of grace. You're shutting it down. And if we shut his grace down, faith's power is also shut down. Remember, they work together. We are delivered by grace through the channel of communication of faith. God asked a question here. Tell me, how can God, his influence or grace, produce faith if you're the one influencing the situation? If you're moving in your emotions, how can God, how can faith become alive if you're moving in self?
Amen.
That's why he wants us to recognize his grace. Because when you recognize his grace, you should be also in recognition to the fact that your faith is real. Your faith has power. It can move mountains. So the only faith you will have is in the plan you've developed for your salvation. And that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for the authentic faith that comes by grace. Okay, let's look at an example of when we neutralize grace, his influence, that we neutralize the power of faith. We see an example of it over in Matthew 17. If you're with me, if you're understanding this, just let me have an amen if you're truly with me.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Amen, guys. All right, because this right here, man, this is really heavy. It's really, really heavy. It's awesome. It's awesome. Influence, being influenced to get under his influence. We're influenced to be under his influence. So powerful. It's amazing. In Matthew 17, verses 14 through 21, it says, "And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire, and oft times he falls into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me.' And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, 'Why could not we cast him out?' And Jesus said unto them, 'Because of your unbelief.'" Remember what the word unbelief means. Unfaithful. "For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, 'Remove hence yonder place,' and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting." This entire account is depicting what we are learning. Prior to this encounter, the Lord empowered them to heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead. The disciples were the ones he was calling faithless and perverse. When he said they were faithless, what he told them is that you haven't been faithful. You've been unfaithful. Watch this now. This really puts it together. The word perverse, when you put these two, faithless and perverse, together, you'll realize that these guys were not faithful in staying in his temperament. Listen, the word perverse means to distort, to turn away, or corrupt. to turn aside, listen to this, to turn aside from the right path. Mm-hmm. He told them that you were unfaithful from being in the right path. You were unfaithful from being at the post, staying in the temperament,
amen,
staying in me. You got caught up in you again,
yes,
and that's why you couldn't cast them out. Howbeit, you would have never got this one out unless you got into a place of praying and fasting, getting out of self and getting back under the influence that authenticated your faith. He told them they distorted it. You turned away from it. You corrupted what was at first when I gave you the anointing to deal with it. He said this, listen, when he anointed his disciples prior to this happening, he said, I give you power over all devils. There wasn't a devil that they didn't have power over. Not one. When they started to move in the anointing, they said, Lord, look at what's going on. He listens to everything that you say, that we're telling him to do. Devils would be coming out. The sick are getting healed. Things are happening. Jesus turns and says, listen, I saw it. I see Satan falling down from the sky like lightning. But he warned them. He said something to them. He said, don't rejoice at what you're doing here. But stay in the mindset that you have eternal life. Don't look at this power because it's going to seduce you. It's going to take you out. No, no. Understand that you have salvation on your side. That'll stabilize this place of power in faith. Because when you're focused on salvation, that means you're focused on his influence. You're focused on his temperament. But they got corrupt. They were distorted. They turned aside from the right path. So in their being unfaithful, they left the influence that he had given them. In leaving the influence, grace, they also left the path, which we have learned is the gate and the post of his doors, the place where authentic faith is found. They were powerless against this devil. I wrote in the note then, many scholars have said it was a high-ranking demon and it needed extra fasting and prayer to drive him out. But Jesus didn't say that. He said they couldn't move him because of their unbelief, which means to have become unfaithful. They lost their influence in his temperament. And only prayer and fasting would be able to get it back. They needed to die to self, in other words. They frustrated his grace. And in doing so, they also frustrated the power of his faith. Can you see that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Don't frustrate his grace. Don't frustrate the grace of God. Let the divine influence of God continue to wake you up daily and carry you to his temperament. Paul said, I die daily, meaning I put him on every day, every day. And in doing so, there's no frustrating of grace. And if there's no frustrating of grace, if grace isn't frustrated, if grace isn't nullified, if you didn't exit out so you could do you and do it your way, then you've got faith that can move mountains. And that's a blessing. It is the gift of God. It is the gift of God. As long as you stay out of you, you let him, let him influence you into his influence, into his temperament. Please be conscious and recognize that when that has happened, say unto the mountain, be thou removed. Turn and say unto it, and it will listen to you. It will. Now, in part 10 continue, all right, I'm going to go ahead and hit this segment as well. It still deals with grace entering the faith party. There's a sealing that takes place by the knowledge of faith and grace. And that word seal, I'm going to tell you off the rip here. It's our last verse of scripture in this segment. But the word seal actually means to authenticate. When we have knowledge of faith and grace, it's authenticated. But it's only, your faith is only authenticated in the knowledge of faith and grace, the awareness. And this is what God is trying to open up our eyes at this time during the series. He's trying to open our eyes to have an awareness to this wonderful channel of communication. That when you're in the channel between the influence, the divine influence upon your heart to get to the post, to recognize and discern temperament, when this is going on, this knowledge, it brings a seal, it authenticates it. And that's why I'm saying when you recognize his grace, you have now the power, it's authentic power, to pray for folk that are sick, to pray for the change of your own situation, for areas of salvation. You are in the right place to see the miracle. So we've been learning at this particular time, we've been learning how faith and grace work in a channel of communication one with another. They are attached at the hip and work perfectly together. You can't be in one without being in the other. Grace gets us to the authentic faith, and that authentic faith activates grace's reflection in and on our lives. Well, the note said, well, faith today is wanting to show us the importance of having the awareness of his grace. Today will be a day of strengthening and enlightening in the power of his faith, which works by grace. Now, the word knowledge, it means awareness. You become cunning and witting. You get your wits about you. But it really means that the one we look at is awareness. Grace, we know, is the divine influence on the heart and its reflection on our life. Now, listen to this word influence. Influence is the capacity or power of a person or thing to be a compelling force on or produce effects on the actions, behaviors, and opinions of others. So that influence becomes the capacity or power of a person. So what God is doing through Christ is in the influence, in that first level of grace, he's really releasing his power. It's there to produce effects and on the actions and behaviors and opinions. You see that? That word opinions, we understand, also means glory. You see, glory is being released in the influence here. The word glory means the manifestation of God's divine perfect nature, or God's, it means the manifestation of God, perfect manifestation. So now in this influence, while we're there, this is why God wants us to have an awareness that we're under his influence, because this is where his power is. It's the power where if he's influencing you to think like him, to talk like him, to feel like him, he's also giving you his power, which is moving through faith. Because you're in his opinion.
Bless God. Bless God. Bless God.
That's something else, man. And that's why he wants you to have an awareness of it. That it's not you trying to get you to the post.
Thank you.
Like I see Ron came out and sat next to me this morning. And when Ron came out and sat next to me, he may think he influenced himself to sit next to me today, but he didn't. He was influenced.
Yes.
Amen. To sit down and listen to the word. He was influenced. It wasn't Ron. It may feel like it was him, but it wasn't him. God, so now Ron, listen, he's in the flow of God's power. He's in the flow where he can open up his mouth and say to the mountain that might be in his life, move out of my way.
Yes,
and God wants you to have an awareness of when you're being influenced.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah, praise God.
Amen.
Because that is the place where you're sealed, and that's the place where your faith has now been authenticated. You become unstoppable. Lay hands on the sick and they'll recover from this place. Jesus. Proverbs says this, for the Lord giveth wisdom. God. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. True knowledge or true awareness can only come from out of the mouth of God. See, Ron heard a still, quiet voice. He might have heard me yelling and preaching, but he still heard a still, quiet voice. He said, go sit down and listen to this. knowledge, awareness came out of the mouth of God. It doesn't come from just reading the word. It comes from what God is saying about his word. It comes from Rhema. God has given us true knowledge about his grace and told us the repercussions of losing the knowledge of his grace. There are repercussions. When you frustrate, you nullify. Things get really hard when we walk away from the knowledge or awareness of his grace. They get really hard because anytime you lose the awareness, I hate to say it, that's when self creeps in. Self creeps back in when you don't have an awareness of God's influence, that it is him. It really is God.
Yes.
You put yourself in the equation when you lose the awareness. By Proverbs 3:20 says, by his knowledge, the depths are broken up. I feel the Holy Ghost teaching today. By his knowledge, the depths are broken up, and the clouds, ooh, glory be to God, and the clouds drop down the dew. Listen, by this awareness,
yes,
the depths are broken up, the deep areas. He told us here, the deep areas of your life that are stuck, or sometimes even in reverse, by awareness, they'll get broken up. And then watch this. And then the clouds drop down the dew. That speaks of, oh my goodness, by the knowledge of his influence, deep areas are broken. And then look at this. That's the first part of grace. Then the clouds drop down the dew. Second part. What's that? Reflection. There's dew coming. Dew means harvest. The knowledge of God is the only thing that can break the deep areas of our lives.
Yes, it is.
The truly Amen, strong God. Places that take hold without Amen. Reluctancy. Amen, Lord. Then the same knowledge turns and blesses us and drops the dew. So awareness delivers and blesses all at the same time. It sounds like bidirectional faith to me. Salvation is here and success. That's what happens when we keep the awareness of his grace.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus. Now, your influence, watch this here. Your influence kills the awareness of his grace and faith. I know it sounds like, geez, we're really going into this. Yeah, we are. Your influence kills the awareness. Watch this. In the book of Genesis, all right, Genesis, it says here, and the Lord, Genesis 8:21, it says, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. This is why he wants that exchange, that temperament exchange. The imagination in our hearts is nothing but evil. From when we were kids, when we were first born. Neither will I again smite everything living as I have done. Now watch. The word heart means the will or the intellect or feelings. All right. So in our intellect, it's evil. The word evil, it means mischievous. It means bad, trouble, or vexed. I like this definition. It means ill-favored. Check it out. This is really powerful. I'm not even going to read the note. I'm going to just tell you because it's right there for you. Your influence, your thoughts, your ways are designed to bring you ill favor. That means there is no reflection from being in God's divine influence. Your life, you are always geared. I don't care if you somehow carved out a path of success for yourself. You're still living beneath what God has intended for you. You're still in a place of ill favor.
It's true.
You may say, but I do well. I'm doing good. I have this and I have that. I want to let you know, child of God, you're still in ill favor. When you tap into God's influence, and come out of your evil, anything outside of God, I don't care what it looked like, it still it's still vexation over your life. You're not living at the level that you're supposed to. You're ill-favored. Our hearts were designed to bring us into ill favor. I'll read it to you again. It says, for the imagination of man's hearts is evil from his youth. Ill favor. So any kind of success you've gotten without God is still ill favor. God's got more for you. He told the rich young ruler, didn't he tell him? He told him, go sell everything you got. And boy, I'll tell you right now, you'll have treasure in heaven. That actually meant wealth, money. But the rich young ruler was ill-favored. Though he was rich, he was ill-favored. Christ was trying to let him know, I'll get you more. I got more for you. But the rich young ruler had great possessions, so he didn't want to sell anything. He thought he was already favored, and he thought he was getting rid of his favor, but Jesus was letting him know, no, 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 you've gotten all that by yourself. Let me show you what favor really looks like. Oh, God. So now, man's heart is opposite of what grace really is. It's truly built to be ill-favored, meaning it moves in the complete opposite direction in terms of right choices or Christ influence. It has been trained by the enemy to choose cursing rather than blessing. Watch what Jeremiah 17 and 9 has to say about it. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Deceitful means fraudulent. Intentional perversion of truth in order to induce another to part with something of value or to surrender a legal right. That's what fraudulent means. So our own hearts is causing us to disconnect from the value of the kingdom of God or from the value that God's temperament would put on our lives. Our hearts are causing us, intentionally perverting us from the truth. That's why he wants us under the awareness.
It's the truth.
He wants us in the place of awareness of his grace. So this fraudulent way of thinking won't continue to take us over. And then we disconnect from the value. And we surrender our legal rights that we have in kingdom. Legal rights such as healing and prosperity, salvation in every area. We're surrendering these things when we don't walk under his influence. Desperately wicked is a powerful word. It says that our hearts are desperately wicked. The word desperately wicked means incurable. Truth told, the heart of man has been incurable. This is why we must be translated into the temperament of Christ. Outside of his influence, you're living in ill favor, and it's incurable.
Amen, God.
So he's saying, guys, I want you under my temperament because I'll give you my intellect, my heart. David prayed the prayer, creating me a clean heart. He said, dispatch me. Send it down from heaven. Dispatch me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He understood that his heart was ill-favored, perverse. So listen, it's incurable. This is why we've got to be translated into the temperament of Christ. He is the only man in history, in the history of the world, to please the Father in authentic faith. This is why he wants us at the post of his doors to make the exchange of our temperament for his temperament. Now, awareness also releases the power of his resurrection. Here we go. In Philippians chapter 3, I'm almost done, guys. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11, it says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law. Watch this. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. So Paul is saying, listen, I need to be in a place where my righteousness is established by faith, but it's not the faith in Christ, it is the faith of Christ. That keeps me in the place of awareness. I will know him here. And when I know him and I have an awareness of the authenticity of this whole blessed channel of communication between grace and faith, I'll also know the power of his resurrection. And I'll be in fellowship with his sufferings. What do you mean, Paul? Meaning I'm not alive. Anything that my flesh wants, it's not getting. I'm in fellowship with his sufferings. And I'm also being made conformable unto his death. Man, that's something else. All because the knowledge. I count all things lost for the knowledge, the awareness. This awareness, everything else is nothing to me. The Message Bible says it like this. This is really cool. It says, yes, all things I once thought were so important are gone from me, from my life, compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master firsthand. Everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's dog dung. I have dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all the inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his sufferings, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I love how it says it there in the Message Bible. He's saying basically, I'm giving up everything that steals his influence and steals the fact that I have an awareness that his influence is on me. I'm not letting anything come between me understanding I'm being influenced by God. That all of this is him. I'm not even going to try to keep rules and regulations. No, because when I recognize that I'm trying to keep rules and regulations, that becomes me keeping rules and regulations. I'm just going to stay in the awareness of his influence. And by doing this, I'll experience the power of his resurrection. This is the depth of reasoning to why we go to his gates, you guys. This is to why we go to the post and we wait there in for the exchange of temperament. We get to know him. We can feel when we're in control as opposed to when he is in control. It's here in this awareness that his power flows from, his resurrection. This is the power of finished works. This is the power that makes everything wrong right again. This is where healing is healed and it yields to heal. Awareness of faith and grace produces this level of reflection in and on our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
And here's my point. For all the promises of God, in him are yea, and in him are amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. And who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And this seal that's created here, watch this. It means security from Satan. This seal here, this seal is security from Satan. It's confirmed and it's authenticated. It places you beyond doubt. My God. When authentic faith is produced, it releases the seal. It releases the seal of his grace. It is the ultimate place in which a Christian should live, its real kingdom. You're sealed here. This is the place where the seal is found. Anything, when it's authenticated, it's a seal. And I just taught you on authentic faith coming through grace. So the seal comes as a result of it being authenticated. That seal also means you're secure from Satan. If you stay, listen, my God, 2 + 2 = 4. If we stay under the influence, how can Satan break that seal? He can't. It can't be broken. So God bring us into the realm of authentic faith has sealed us. You're protected. You're guarded. And you flow in the power of his resurrection. Just stay in the awareness of God's grace. Give him praise when you recognize he's pulling you to hear his word, to come to the post of his doors. Give him glory. Just give him a shout out. That's how you'll stay in the awareness. Just give him a shout out. I feel you pulling me. I know you're doing this. Thank you. Thank you for your grace. Just recognize his grace. Don't lose the awareness of grace. If you don't lose the awareness, you'll stay out of the equation. And you won't frustrate what is supposed to be reflecting in your life. Things will change. They'll get better. You'll come into a place where it's life and life more abundantly. Trust me, you'll get caught in yourself when you lose the awareness of grace. You'll get caught in you. And then you'll try to uphold yourself and you can't do it. Jesus said, behold, I have all power over all flesh. You'll try to uphold yourself, but you won't win the fight. No. The Bible says greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. You'll keep the greater one out in front. Just recognize his grace. Every time you make a move to get in this word, to get back in this rhema, understand it's happening by grace. Mm-hmm. Understand that. I guarantee you, I promise you. I absolutely promise you. You'll come into a place where your faith is moving, not just your mountains, but the mountains of the people that you love that are around you. You'll understand, you'll see it. You'll flow in it like never before. Like never before. Curtis Kegler says, Minister Kurt says, powerful word. Elder Allison says, amen for God's grace. Elder Donna says, so true. Elder Allison says, wow. Back to Elder Donna, she says, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord, amen. And I say amen. I say amen. I tell you, this is an area I really needed to hear again because seriously, I don't want to be caught in the equation of feeling like I'm trying to do this or I'm the one doing this for me. I don't want I to be anywhere around this equation. I just want to recognize his grace and stay humble to the fact that it's him. And every time I get in trouble, grace is always pulling me out. Every time I get lackadaisical, grace is always tapping me on the shoulder. Every time my studies start to drop off or my prayer life is dropping off a little bit, grace says, let's go. It's not me reminding me. It's grace. And when I have that understanding, my faith is now authenticated. I was influenced to get under his influence. I have real faith on my life now because it came by grace. Always does. True faith comes by grace all the time. Well, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you. I pray, Lord God, that everybody that was under the sound of my voice today was quickened. I pray that they came into a place where of understanding and a place of ease where they can let you just take the reins and be in control. They can just feel after you when you're influencing them to come. And then, Lord, as they discern temperament exchange, to remind them by grace again that they are in the place of authentic faith. Power is now in their hands. Power is now on their tongues. They can say unto the sycamine tree, they can say unto the mountain. The movement of our mouths don't have to be done in silence when we're here. We can open up our mouths and speak change and experience it. Watch its reflection. Father, please don't ever let us lose the fact that it's you influencing. And when that influence is on us, oh my goodness, it's taking us into the right realm of faith. And so we give you glory for this simple truth. We give you glory that we won't make it complicated ever again. We give you glory, Jesus, that in the smallest moments, we'll lift our hands to you. We'll recognize. We'll recognize your grace.
Yes, God.
We'll recognize your grace. And we'll give you glory for your grace.
Yes, Jesus.
Hey, and then we'll discern our position in faith. I discern it even right now, and I speak to every difficult situation on this line. I speak to anyone that's suffering in any area of life, anything.
Hallelujah.
I speak into your circumstances. I speak credit salvation and release salvation to you. I speak it over you now in the name of Jesus.
Yes, God.
In the name of Jesus, that every mountain be removed, that the ease of the kingdom settles in its place. We give you glory for it, Master.
Oh, God, we bless you.
We give you glory for it, Lord. Thank you for your grace. If you could just take a moment, if you recognize his grace on you, if you recognize it was him that dialed that number today to put you on the line, to get you in this word, if you can recognize where he influenced you and he's got influence over you right now, give him glory for his influence. Give him glory. Give him glory for his influence.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah. We are saved by grace through faith.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
We are saved by your divine influence.
Hallelujah, God.
True faith. Thank you for this wonderful gift. Thank you for it, Master.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.